I'm going to ask Mark to step back up here, and I'm going to give him a microphone because many of you know Mark, but some of you don't, especially probably more of you, the men know Mark. But his story is such a wonderful story of the grace of God that I want you to hear it. It started, like we said, 27 years ago. And 27 years ago, your life was in shambles.
I was a single parent, and two deacons from Eastwood knocked on the door.
Yeah.
And they didn't want anything. They just wanted me to visit.
Can you hear him?
And
okay.
They ended up,
get that a little closer.
They ended up.
Well, let me back up and make sure that they've got this framed right. His wife was a drug addict, and she had left him with a one-year-old child. And he had no idea what to do. And he's sitting there trying to figure out what goes on. And he gets a knock from Thursday night visitation from some people from Eastwood. And go ahead with the story.
They helped me find a nanny that could live with me 5 days a week. I worked nights. And we started coming in 1993. And after that, 20 years later, both my kids grew up in this church. Both of them's baptized. They, after 20 years, my son got in a little bit of trouble. I say a little bit, but he got in some trouble. And two or three places tried to help. And it was Eastwood that stepped in with Teen Challenge. And his record's clean. He's got a great job, state job, promotions. He's got people working under him, and I don't know what else to say. And then after him getting straightened up, God wasn't done. God wanted to straighten me up. And every time I'd see somebody baptized, he was telling me no. Well, for 4 months I was sick, and through two doctors, emergency room visit, didn't work. And my son wouldn't take no for an answer. He dropped me off at emergency room down Erlanger. 8 hours later, I got a bedroom or bed. And in the emergency room, 4 hours later, my heart stopped. And they put the pads on me. And it's nothing like what you see in the movies, I promise you. It hurts. It hurts bad. And then when I got back home and had in-house care, that's when God said, all right, it's time. And when God talks to you, you don't question it. I promise you, you don't question it.
Well, let me back you up a little and take them through part of this, because when Mark first started coming to Eastwood, he was really coming because he saw God's love there.
Yep.
Because he was in he's in desperate straits, and they could have come and they could have said, well, yeah, you got a lot of problems, and let's, you know, you got to get your heart right with God. And they could have put more on him than he was ready for, because as you can see, 27 years, he's a strong-willed person. It took a little patience from God and from God's people to help him make the decision on his own to follow Christ. And they didn't run you off at all. They just offered help.
Yep.
And because they offered help, they offered, you know, to help him what he needed, and they offered friendship and offered fellowship, he came. And he came because he saw something in God's people that he wasn't seeing every place else. And how long were you in that men's group? And they're close friends.
Yeah. And they never give up. Even when I went in and out, they never discouraged. They never banished, never put me down or anything.
And I, you know, I've been here 20 years, but I was working, you know, working sometimes two or three full-time jobs. So I didn't really know Mark until I was a pastor here. But when I first came in, you know, and I was finding out what was going on with Aaron, and Aaron was filling me in, she said, now Mark Adams has been coming here for years and years and years, and he doesn't go in the service. He sits outside there, and sometimes he stays. But she says, I know God's working on him. And so you've had people praying for you for years and years and years, but accepting him right where he was, praying and hoping that God would work. And I'm sure you've got men in the Sunday school class that were doing the same thing.
That's right.
And letting God have that time to work. Now, he was talking about his son, and most of you have heard that testimony when his son got involved in drugs and got in some legal trouble and was really hard and bitter against Christ at that time. And he had no other choice, and so we got him into Teen Challenge, or he could go to prison. He had the choice, and of course, that's a pretty easy choice. And so he went to Teen Challenge, and many of you in here know the story. He came by and knocked on my door on the way there because he didn't want to be dishonest with me. And he sat down in the office, and he told me, he said, "Now, I'm going to Teen Challenge, but I just want you to know I don't want to have anything to do with God. And I do not believe that God can help me at all. I've got my own plan how I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to spend this year to dry out. Then I'm going to go home. I'm going to get video games. And I'm going to live like a hermit in my basement for the rest of my life because I know if I get out there with friends." And so he's got this plan. And we called Teen Challenge and told him. They said, "Good. Because we don't want people playing games. We want people, that's who we want, somebody like that." And how long was he in there?
A year.
I know he was in there a year, but how long was it before he really was broken and gave his heart to Christ?
Probably about 8 months.
About 8 months.
Yeah.
And during that time, you know, we were praying for him, and Mark would come by and we would pray for him. As a staff,
he didn't come out the other side the way he went in.
No, he did not. He came out the other side totally changed, totally different person. And during that time, as we prayed, God gave Mark peace that he was going to take care of this. Why don't you tell him that story?
We were praying in the office, and there was about six of us. And at the end of the prayer, I don't know if it went quiet in the room. I don't know if Bill was still praying, but I heard a voice that said, "I will clean it up, but you were never in charge to begin with." And I don't know if it was in my head or in the room, and I wasn't sleep deprived, wasn't on drugs, wasn't drinking, but I heard the voice. And it was direct.
And along that time, so that gave him some peace to know that God was saying, "I am going to take care of this."
When I walked out of the room, I knew it was going to be fixed.
Yeah, and it was a different attitude as you went through. But God also told you something else in that preceding time. He told you he wasn't going to just work on Blake. What else did he tell you?
He told me he was going to work on me.
And Mark wasn't sure exactly what that meant at that time. But many of you know at that time he started attending pretty regularly. And I'm not talking about being on campus. I'm talking about in here, in Sunday school, men's groups, and things like that. And God has done a lot of things in your life. He's worked a lot of miracles. And every time that we would baptize someone, there was something in his heart that would say, "I want that too." But it's really interesting that God would speak to you again.
A year ago, he introduced me to the love of my life.
Well, that was another big empty miracle to fill your life.
And we're getting married June 1st.
And most of you know that too. But all of these things came along, and God was telling him, "No, you can't get baptized yet because you haven't given me everything." And after he went through this thing where he had this infection. He thanks for swimming for Red Tide. What was it, 4 months you had it?
4 months.
4 months he had it. They couldn't figure anything out. Finally, he went in the hospital. They tried to send him home. He said, "I'm not going home." And not too long after that, he flatlined. And they were zapping him back. And he came out of that realizing that God had a plan for his life. And his death, it didn't include that death at that time. Why God spared him, you know, we may not know all of the reasons, but he knew that God spared him because God loved him and wanted him. And at that time, we said over to his house, he said, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready to lay everything down and enter the kingdom. And it's interesting, you saw the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the provision of God. You saw the goodness of God for a long, long time. But you couldn't really step into the kingdom until you decided that you were going to respond with your life to that love.
That's true.
And I think that's the biggest blessing of his testimony. Because, you know, it would have been easy, and I think it's a testimony, too, from the people who surrounded him, how they ministered to him and how they loved him, because you could have wanted to see Mark make some type of decision early so we could say, we led Mark to the Lord, rather than let God work in his life. And what a great tragedy it would have been if he would have not given everything to the Lord, but responded in a way that he could mesh in here, and now he's got all that pressure in here of changing things. But God wouldn't let him be baptized until he let go of everything. That's an interesting part of that testimony.
My dad always said I had a hard head. I'd dent a Sherman tank. And it took me a while.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that one. But we love you, and I know many of you in here have loved and prayed for Mark and are so excited for all the things God has done in Mark's life, but especially for this, because he told me the other day, he said, I just feel free. I'm just free. So that's good. Well, Mark, we're going to pray for you, okay? Father, I just thank you for Mark. I'm just grateful for his friendship. I'm grateful for the heart you've given him. And he's always been that person that would give you the shirt off his back. He will work and he will sacrifice and he will give. And I am so grateful, Lord, that you have had the patience to stay with him, to allow him to respond to you with all of his heart so that he can know you and experience that cleansing freedom of knowing that he truly is in your hands and part of your family. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen. I love you, man. Thank you. You know, we're looking at Palm Sunday, and at Palm Sunday, the theme is Christ coming to bring peace. The other day, Mark was telling me, we were talking about this baptism and his stuff. He says, man, I know God has changed me. He said, today is a great example. And he didn't even go into detail about what happened, but he said, in the past, if this would have happened, I would have been so bent out of shape and so upset. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because these circumstances just didn't work out the way he wanted to. And he would have just been all upset. He said, but you know what? I don't just not sweat the small stuff anymore. He said, I don't sweat the big stuff. He said, I know God's got a plan. And I'm not worried about what's happening in my life because I know I'm in God's hands. That is a great feeling, isn't it? That's what peace is really about. Acts 10, 36 through 38 tells us this is the message of good news for the people of Israel or for God's people. That there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So through Jesus Christ and through his love, we who were enemies in our own minds, and a lot of times we don't think of ourselves as the enemies of God. Now, there are some people who are bitter and angry. Most atheists are upset and angry at God. And so they would call themselves the enemy of God.